Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. I'm a homeschool father of five. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy also in the studio with us today. And education is the field where the battles are fought most ferociously in the world of worldviews. Indeed, education is D-Day. It's Omaha Beach in the War of the Worldviews. This is where the battle rages so furiously. My dad just sent me this quote, Bill. I want to read it to you. It's from Karl Marx. Here it is. Are you ready? The education of all children from the moment they can get along without a mother's care shall be in state institutions at state expense. The very heart and soul of the Communist Manifesto is to eliminate home education. In fact, homeschooling is right at the very core of the Communist Manifesto. Replace home education with social. This is the very heart and soul. That is a quote from the Communist Manifesto.
Yeah, it's the battle of jurisdiction.
It is the battle of jurisdiction.
Yeah, who has authority over the child's education?
Karl Marx,
the child's mind.
Bound and determined in the Communist Manifesto to eliminate home education, take it away from the jurisdiction of the family, and place it under the state. The education of all children from the moment they can get along without a mother's care shall be in state institutions at state expense. So let me ask you, my friends, are you in favor of this? Are you a communist, or are you in favor of a biblical view of education, that is to place it under the jurisdiction of a father? Fathers and mothers, teach your children in your home, as you sit in your house, as you walk by the way, as you rise up, as you lie down. Friends, is this a matter of the family jurisdiction or a matter of the state jurisdiction? Are you a communist? Are you a Marxist? Are you in agreement with Karl Marx at the very core of everything Karl Marx and the communists are all about? Do you put the education of children into the hands of the state as soon as they can get along without a mother's care? Is that where you are? Are you a communist or are you not a communist? Bill, I think this is central to the entire worldview of the Christian versus the non-Christian in the modern battle of the worldviews. This ultimately will determine whether you are a humanist or a Christian. Don't you think the battle is raging most furiously right here in the area of jurisdictions?
Yes, I do. And it reminds me the contrast with Marx's definition of what education should be and who should control it. Martin Luther said, education is the preparation for living within God's creation to the glory of God here and throughout eternity. You know, that's a worldview
Amen.
Of difference.
Amen.
There's a difference in perspective and who's in charge and what's going on and what's the purpose of education. Because Karl Marx wants us to be, you know, just script readers for the state. And we want our children to be free under God's law.
The humanists were confronting a very important challenge in the 19th century, and that was, how do you mass produce apostasy? How do you completely erode the influence of the covenant family in the discipleship of children into the Christian faith from one generation to the next? How do you destroy the Christian faith in the Western world? And the answer was very simple. Socialize education.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Hitler knew this. The Catholic Church knows this. Not that I'm equating the two. But both, in essence, have said, you know, give us a child until he's eight, and I've got him for life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true. And what do we see happening in a lot of states here in Colorado? There's a push for early childhood education, for pre-kindergarten.
Yeah.
Mandatory. Well, free kindergarten. But it will be mandatory pretty soon. But that's the attempt. And the younger you get them, then the more you control them.
And the compulsory attendance law, of course, was implemented from the point at which Karl Marx pushed it in the early part of the 19th century till about 1918, when it was completely implemented in every state in America. All right, my friends, we'll be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast. The Chinese are removing any reference to God from children's classics. That's what the Chinese government's doing. Wait a minute. We did that a long time ago. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
If It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith, and it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson, and I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent? The American Pilgrims at the Battle for King's Mountain. How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org.
And we are back on the Generations broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson with Bill Jack. And this is the very heart and soul of the battle, Bill. It's the battle for the heart and souls of the next generation. And the communists understand this. The battle in the whole world right now is over the hearts and minds of the children. You know, Richard Wurmbrand, tortured for Christ, others in Romania were in prison, mainly because they worked with the youth. That was the bugaboo. That was the reason for the persecution in the Eastern Bloc against the Christian churches back in the 1950s, 1960s. And same thing in China today. Brother Wang Yi from the Early Rain Church, you know why he's in prison? I think the number one reason Brother Wang Yi's in prison is because his church was trying to start up a Christian school. And I've heard from these Christian pastors involved with the Early Rain Church that the state had attempted to shut down their schools over and over and over again. This is the bugaboo, friends. They don't want children attending Sunday schools. They don't want children being educated in Christian schools. They want the children in the communist schools, period. And that's the way it is almost everywhere around the world today, except for a minority of parents that are willing to stand against relatives, stand against the public schools, stand against the local administration officials, and insist upon raising their own children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Thankfully, there is something of a New Testament covenant discipleship of children here and there, in this nation and that nation around the world. And we're seeing it grow in places like Mexico, South Africa, Uganda, Zambia, elsewhere. Thankfully, in other nations around the world, we're seeing that parents are stepping up to the plate and finding themselves to be responsible for the education, the discipleship of their own children. Well, China is removing the Bible, God, and Christ from children's classics, according to this Christian Post article. It's interesting, Bill, that the American schools have done this a long time ago.
I mean, it's not surprising because, you know, how many people read Robinson Crusoe and in the version that did not honor God, in
well,
which
they don't
he, you know, God for, takes a man who's a rebel. He's rebelling against his father, basically. He shipwrecks him, forces him to live with himself. He comes to despair. He finds in a sea chest that he's rescued from the ship a book that he's overlooked. It happens to be the Bible. He reads it. He trusts Christ. And then God brings him a man to disciple on Saturday, and he calls him Friday. Right? Isn't that the way it goes? And that is the story of redemption. It's the story of God's grace poured out on a sinner. And yet, that has been excised from later translations of that book, later editions of that book. It's the first English, recognized English novel, I believe, is Robinson Crusoe. And so we shouldn't be surprised when the avowed Marxists do the same thing that the secularists have done here in the United States.
I was somewhat impressed that China's Ministry of Education actually included Robinson Crusoe in their fifth grade literature. And, of course, now they're trying to purge all references to Christ and to God and to the Bible out of these classic Christian stories.
They're just 40 years behind us.
They just are 40 years behind us. Yeah, they haven't quite caught up to where we are. We've jettisoned Robinson Crusoe and all the Christian classics out of public schools at least 40, 50, 60 years ago. Our modern schools are too busy teaching how Heather had two daddies and all the others. Not interested in any of the classics. Actually, not interested in any of the pagan classics, let alone the Christian classics. Well, my friends, how is this different from American public schools? Not very different. American curriculum introduces all the worldviews and gives them equal airplay in the literature classes. All the great authors, the transcendentalists, the pagans, the Enlightenment authors, the post-Christian authors, etc., are treated with equal value in the mind of the American homeschooler and the American Christian schooler and the American public schooler, by and large, as if all of these have something to contribute in the great conversation. There's this assumption of neutrality when it comes to literature, that great literature is always neutral.
I'm not sure that all Christians do that, but
that's there, true. Not all do.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And yeah. When you talk about the great conversation, you need to recognize the ideas and filter them through the Word of God. You need to look at them through the lens of God's Word and jettison that which is trash, which is nothing that is useful, and recognize that even pagans can stumble. Even a blind pig finds a truffle. Even a blind squirrel finds a nut occasionally. And we shouldn't be surprised when pagans stumble across the truth. We should recognize it for what it is, but we also recognize that, I think it was Mark Twain said that people will stumble across the truth, but they'll usually pick themselves up and carry on anyway.
Well, we need to have the great confrontation. I prefer the idea of having a confrontation versus a conversation, especially when it comes to worldview differences in the area of literature. The devil's a good writer. I think people need to remember that. He knows how to turn the phrase in a most creative, most ironic way to confuse the reader and impress him at the same time. So that kind of thing happens a lot. But Robinson Crusoe, as you mentioned, is one of the first novels in the modern world. Probably the first one.
Yeah, first recognized English novel.
Comes from a distinctively Christian perspective. We use it for our 8th grade curriculum. And friends, we encourage you to a Christian curriculum for your children. In the preface, Defoe announces that, you know, his intention is to justify and to honor the wisdom of providence in all the varieties of our circumstances. God, by his providence, sends Crusoe punishments and deliverances and so forth and so on. All of this is attributed to God's providence. And Crusoe also notes that he ran away from his family for the reasons of disobeying his father. He sees that he had dishonored his father. My conscience, which was not yet come to the pitch of hardness to which it has been since, reproached me with the contempt of advice and the breach of my duty to God and to my father. Then he has a conversion on the island. You remember his conversion. He speaks of his conviction of sin. He has a dream in which he is convicted. He is warned of God. He reviews his life, and his understanding and sense of God deepens. He turns to the Word of God, to the Bible. He studies it, and he finds comfort and guidance and instruction there. Finally, he cries out to God, "Lord, be my help, for I am in great distress." He kneels to God for the first time in his life, prays to God to fulfill the promise that if I called upon him in the day of trouble, he would deliver me. And then he asked for God's grace. Quote, "Jesus, thou son of David, Jesus, thou exalted prince and savior, give me repentance." And he comes to realize that spiritual deliverance from his sin is more important than physical deliverance from the island. So, okay, this is the story of Robinson Crusoe. You take all of that out, what do you get, Bill?
You just get an adventure story.
Maybe. You definitely don't get anything of the message that Defoe intended for this particular book. Well, the modern world is de-Christianizing and providing an education for post-Christians who homeschool, private school, public school. And, Bill, what we're committed to doing as part of our ministry is to re-Christianize, to honor the Christian heritage that was left in this world over 2,000 years of Christ's rule. And Robinson Crusoe plays a part in that heritage. It's a beautiful part in that heritage. Think about most of the great works of literature over the centuries until you get to the 19th century. Most of the great works of literature has a strong Christian heritage to it. If you think of these, and on into the 19th century, you take the book Heidi And I spent about 3 months working on various translations of Heidi and incorporating it into a brand new translation, which we re-Christianize. In other words, we bring back the heritage. We bring back everything that was in the original Spiri German edition. And some of the Christian material was never translated into the very earliest editions of Heidi. We brought that into our new translation. So, friends, Heidi is the second most popular children's book ever published. There's 50 million copies in print around the world. It's a beautiful, beautiful story. By the way, in the recent Disney version of Heidi, Heidi prays to a star. Outrageous. Throughout the entire book, she's praying to God. She's acknowledging Jesus to be the prince who came to bring salvation. She expresses the importance of the parable of the prodigal son. And grandfather puts himself in that position, realizes that he's the prodigal son. And at some point in the story, we read, the old man folded his hands and said in a low voice, as big tears rolled down his cheeks, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against thee, and I am no more worthy to be thy son." And that's the beginning of his repentance. And he's restored into the community, into the communion of the church in the village the very next day. It's a really amazing story, friends. This is one of the most amazing Christian stories in all of Christian history. And, Bill, we need to give our children this Christian heritage. It's too bad so much of the reference to God, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and to the salvation that we have in him has been eliminated from these great stories.
Yeah. I mean, you think that that happens frequently. You know, for example, I'm just thinking of a recent book recounting the story Unbroken, which is a great redemption story. And yet when Angelina Jolie's production company purchased the rights to it and produced this movie, it was highly anticipated that the story of the gospel that transformed the life of the hero of that story would be well covered, and yet it was not. It was excised from the movie to the point that it just cut the heart out of the movie. Same thing happened with the story of Johnny Cash.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they produced that movie,
same thing.
That movie, it cut the heart out of the story because they left out the gospel.
And that's why I think we have an obligation to bring these stories back and to reintroduce the entire story, the true story. We want to bring back the Christian heritage of what God did. You know, if we're not presenting the heritage, the Christian heritage of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in the lives of tens of millions, hundreds of millions of people throughout the Western world over the last 2,000 years, we're losing a Christian heritage. I think every Christian in the world needs to read Robinson Crusoe. Every Christian in the world, doesn't matter what culture you're from, you need to read the true story of Heidi and the wonderful salvation story of how grandfather comes to repentance and to faith in Christ. Friends, you've got to be telling these stories. It doesn't matter what nation you're in. If you're a Christian, you're not excising the stories. You're not excising Christ and the Christian experience and the biblical truths from these stories. You want all of it. And that's what Generations is doing in republishing these Christian classics and including them in our curriculum. You know, Heidi is the most delightful reason, one of the most heartwarming Christian stories of all time. It's filled with the joy and the gratefulness and praise to God. There are vivid descriptions of sin, of rebellion, of mercy and forgiveness and reconciliation, God's sovereignty, faith in God, and prayer to the Lord are encouraged. The church plays a role in the life of Heidi and a grandfather, especially as the grandfather is restored to Christian fellowship. So also think of Swiss Family Robinson. We republished Swiss Family Robinson as well because, Bill, we noticed that the sermons that the father shared with his children on the island were largely excised in more modern translations. We had to go back to the 1830s to find the very first English translations of the German for the Swiss Family Robinson, and we reincorporated these stories into our republishing of the Swiss Family Robinson. You see how important it is to get rid of this whole de-Christianization that's come out of Disney?
What's called is censorship. You know, the opposition to Christianity, those who are opposed to Christ, often claim that Christians censor, and they cry censorship. And yet that's just merely projection, because the other side is censoring the truth. And we need to proclaim the truth by reissuing these classics with all of the Christian worldview that was part of it. It was an integral part of the story.
Absolutely. And friends, we include Heidi in our sixth grade literature curriculum. We include the Swiss Family Robinson in our seventh grade curriculum. And we include Robinson Crusoe in our eighth grade curriculum as all part of our Christian curriculum in the field of literature. And we really encourage you to take a look at what we're doing in reviving and bringing back the Christian heritage into homeschooling and Christian school curriculum. Of course, there's John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress for Young Readers. There's The Holy War by John Bunyan. We also include a wonderful autobiography of Henry Martin, the great missionary to India and down into Iran. Friends, great literature classics. We've got God's Smuggler now in our sixth grade curriculum. That's just such a beautiful story that I think needs to be included as a classic. Also, The Hiding Place is all part of our 8th grade curriculum as well. You start moving into 9th and 10th grade, and you're getting into the autobiographies of Augustine and John Bunyan's Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners. One of the most exciting things that's happened recently, Bill, is we've had a number of stories of parents who say their children have come to know the Lord Jesus through this. One woman said as they're reading through Pilgrim's Progress, all three of their children wanted to get down their knees and acknowledge Jesus as their Savior. Wow. And their Lord. So, I mean, we had a number of these most recently, and I'm just very encouraged with how God is using, you know, stories like Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners or Pilgrim's Progress in a mighty way to transform lives of kids around the world. So, friends, I encourage you to our Christian discipleship curriculum available at generations.org. I believe we've got a big sale going on right now. It's called a back-to-school sale, but I'd rather call it the not-back-to-school sale. If you're going to be homeschooling your kids, you're not going back to school, but you are going to be providing your children with classic curriculum, Christian curriculum, the best stuff that we can find. All available at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.